More.
Chicken lay. Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, smart talk about food, wine, farming, and so many other things here on KRCB. It's Michelle Anna Jordan, live in the studio on this very warm June day. Hope you've had a good weekend. Lots of stuff going on, isn't there? I had a pretty amazing week since I was here last. On Sunday, I and five members of my family went to see Beach Blanket Babylon, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. On Tuesday, it was my grandson, who has been on the show many times, starting when he was about a year old. It was his 18th birthday. There was lots of good things to eat, lots of teenage boys, a few teenage girls, and lots of other relatives. And then on Tuesday, something else I want to talk to you about, we took Lucas and his girlfriend and his mama, his aunt, my youngest daughter, and Uncle Tom, his uncle, Tommy, took them up to Coppola for a Tavola, a continued birthday celebration. They got to rest on Wednesday. Well, I made pozole for a whole lot of people. And Thursday morning was Lucas's graduation from Laguna High School, which is a continuation school and a really incredible school, no matter what you call it. He was there were two graduation speakers. He was one of them. And honestly, I'm quite capable of critiquing my relatives. I've seen the flaws in something people I love do. And his was the single best graduation speech I have ever heard in my entire life. I was absolutely astonished. The level of writing, the level of wisdom, the level of humor, the level of heart, and his delivery were all so remarkable. My grandson is going to be fine. I am not, he's going to have a great life. I'm not worried about him at all. Except perhaps in the global sense that everyone is going to be suffering from climate change. But it was really spectacular. He also got two scholarships. People came to my house for that big pozole dinner afterwards. Friday, we went to Lucas's house to say goodbye to the relatives who were leaving and just hang out. I think we did... Oh, yeah, and then my brother-in-law, a man I've known probably longer than I've known almost anyone since I was 15, who is a brilliant man, lives in Forestville and is a true Renaissance human. He stopped by as I was cooking leg of lamb and roasted asparagus because I'd bought the leg of lamb for my daughter who lives in Mississippi where you don't get lamb. So I had to cook it. Saturday, we went to a funeral mass for my beloved landlady, who's one of her rentals I've lived in for 31 years, and she was, I don't think of her as my landlady, I think of her as my, what's that word from the, she was my patron. She really made my writing career possible in ways that never would have happened if I had not had this wonderful place to live in. After the funeral mass, we went to her house, and her daughters did her proud. Her name was Mary. She was the finest home cook I have ever met in my life. Absolutely amazing cook. She read recipes for pleasure. She never cooked from recipes. She made absolutely everything she tasted. She touched, taste wonderful. And then my daughter and son-in-law returned to Mississippi last night. And before they were out of the driveway at about 5 o'clock last night, I was asleep. I took a 3 or 4 hour nap. I woke up and had a lamb sandwich, went back to bed and slept for another 8 hours. Mm. So a week of celebration can take stuff out of you, even as it's filling you with joy and so many things. So,
yeah, the body needs to recharge at some point.
Absolutely.
That's kind of one of the best ways to do it.
Absolutely.
A good rest.
Since I was also, I'm so nice that I gave my son, my daughter and my son-in-law my bedroom. Mm-hmm. So I was sleeping on the little couch bed in the dining room with my dogs. So it was very sweet, but it wasn't quite the same sort of rest that I'm used to. But I'm very glad I did it. At the start of the week, the guests who were supposed to be here tonight asked if we could postpone because one of them suddenly had to be out of town for the next two Sundays. And what could I say? No, you have to cancel your trip. So because of all of the obligations I had during the week, I reached out a little bit for another guest, and it is someone that I hope to have on sometime soon. It's a fascinating topic. They weren't able to make it this Sunday, so it's the Michelle and Anthony Show.
Hooray!
And I have a few things that I want to go over first, and then it'll be me and Anthony, and who knows, maybe it'll even be your phone calls. Start thinking if you have anything you want to ask us about. First of all, let's talk about Beach Blanket Babylon. If you live in Sonoma County or the Bay Area and you've never seen it, you need to go. It's closing December 31st. It is the last, I think, quintessential San Francisco phenomenon. There were parts of it where I sobbed, and they were funny. They were happy scenes, and I cried through most of it. And afterwards, I couldn't even talk for about 45 minutes without choking up. And I think it's because it just goes to the core of what I've always loved about San Francisco. Things that are, at least for now, going underground or vanishing with the high rents and everything else. Do yourself a favor. See this part of San Francisco before it's gone. Tickets range from $35 for the upper balcony to, I think, $120 or $130 for the closest on the floor. But Club Fugazi is a beautiful little theater, and it's so small. There is not a bad seat in the house. You know, if what you can spring for is the $25 seats, go. When I look, because I'm going to go at least one more time, maybe two more times. So I did a quick span of what's available. From the middle of November until the end of December, I saw one afternoon open. Christmas Eve at 2 o'clock, that performance had seats.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so really you should go between now and the end of October. October 31st is full up. You can't go on Halloween, and you can be sure they have special things. But it's wonderful. If you go to their website, it's just beachblanketbabylon.com. You can get tickets. They also tell you where to park. And we got parking. It was not too long a walk. We got parking for $10, which is a real bargain in San Francisco. There's lots of good. We went to our show was at 5, and we went out for dim sum before the show, and we were going to get in line at 3 o'clock. I think we got in line at 3:30, and it wasn't short. It wasn't around the block yet, but it wasn't short. And they opened the doors an hour in advance, so they opened the doors at 4. I recommend getting in line an hour to an hour and a half before it starts. And there's no rush in that. They don't just open the doors and you rush in and grab a seat, but it's not assigned seats. That you are seated. So they take your group, and then whatever section you've purchased, they take you and give you your options in that section. So the sooner you get your tickets and the sooner you get in line, the better you're going to do. If you indulge in such things as edibles or smokables or whatever, I recommend that you do that so that it kicks in right when the show starts. You can just float away with where they want to take you. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know the premise, it's Snow White looking for her prince in San Francisco. So there's that thread. And that shares equal time with outrageous political satire. And from the time it opens up, from the time it starts until the very last moment, the very last note, it's relentless. It never, ever, ever lets up.
It's a train ride of...
It's a train ride of joy.
Yeah.
It's I just can't recommend it highly enough. Do yourself that favor. I'm actually going to call them tomorrow and see what sort of group packages they might offer, because there's a bunch of people I know in Sonoma County who've never seen it, and if nothing else, I want to like force them all to go when I go.
Yeah, it's see it while you can.
See it, because you know you're not, you know, Steve Garner, who is the first guest on Mouthful, he had the foresight to buy tickets for December. Mm. And you know, I'm not going to kill him and steal the tickets, but if anything happens to you, Steve, I want them. It's just book solid, and you know, gosh, that would be the place to be on New Year's Eve this year.
Oh man, that would be a party.
Yes, and like you know, I missed, and it was my own fault that I missed the last waltz on Thanksgiving. And with Martin Scorsese there filming and turning it into a movie that has to rub my nose in the fact that I didn't go over and over and over. And it's one of the very best music films ever. I mean, it's Martin Scorsese. And do you know what Last Waltz was?
No.
I saw the look on your face and I thought, he may not know.
I've heard of it, okay. But yeah, it's...
Watch the movie sometime. Mm-hmm. It was the last night of Winterland.
Oh,
and they had
okay.
a sit-down Thanksgiving dinner. You got to dress up.
That's fun.
Even had a long blue velvet dress I would have worn, but you got to sit down and have the Thanksgiving dinner, seated at a table, and then the band, the house band for the night, was the band.
Huh. That's
and
cool.
Everyone showed up on stage, and I'm not even going to remember everybody, but on stage at one time was Joni Mitchell, Bob Dylan, Van Morrison. Neil Diamond. Did I say Neil Young? I must have said Neil Young. I think Dr. John even might have been there, but I'm not positive about that. But it was a cast of several dozen really well-known musicians.
Wow.
And we heard, I've been listening, I think I mentioned before, I've been listening to Little Steven's Underground Garage mm-hmm. a lot. It's a really good radio station if you have my taste in music. And they played Caravan, a really great Van Morrison song that is in part includes listening to the radio. I like songs that are about radio. But it was Van Morrison doing that full of energy with the band backing him up. Mm-hmm. It was just, it's wonderful. So don't feel about Beach Blanket Babylon like I feel about Last Waltz. Just go. And then I also wanted to mention Coppola's, or Rustic, the restaurant at Coppola Winery in Geyserville. I wanted to mention their Tuesday nights. And I've talked about it before. Mm-hmm. Ottavola. But it's changed. I went two or three times when they first started it a few years ago, and they fine-tuned it, and they've finally gotten it to where it's running more smoothly, and I suspect they're probably not wasting as much food as they did when it first started. But I was surprised. It wasn't crowded, and we left about 9, and I think we were the last table, and I just feel like that place should have been packed with a line out the door. It's so much fun, and what it is it's patterned after Francis Coppola's dinners as a child, Sunday suppers, when all his relatives gathered, and they ate around the big table for a long time. So first of all, his costume director clothed everybody, so the entire staff is dressed in late 1930s, early 40s clothing.
Classy.
Yes. And there are, the waitresses are pregnant, I'm doing finger quotes, often with a cigarette, which looks real but isn't, a cigarette in one hand and a martini in the other, mm-hmm. because that's how life was then. And then this guy, Steve Albini, not the one who produced Nirvana's In Utero, but with the same name, he plays accordion and sings. And it's wonderful. He sings Italian music. It's just wonderful. And then this guy, and I don't know what his job is the rest of the time at Coppola, but he's basically dressed in an old man t-shirt, all man pajama bottoms, an open bathrobe, and he has a fake cigarette, and he goes around to every table with his fake cigarette, dropping ashes in your wine glass, and entertaining you with this, what I think is a fake Italian accent, and his drop-dead hilarious humor. And I think what he does, pretty sure, he's really good at judging whether the table he's at is receptive or like, dude, would you go away? We're eating.
Yeah, stop hovering.
Exactly.
Kind of thing, yeah.
And we were like, more. So he spent a lot of time at our table, and he had his prickly rolling on the floor.
That's great.
And then the accordion player and all the staff that was still there came out with dessert and a candle and sang and played Happy Birthday to Lucas.
Nice. Oh, that's special.
Yeah. So it's 39, I think it's $39.50 or $39.95 per person.
It's not bad.
They bring food around.
Mm.
They set big bowls of salad on your... Well, for us, I'll tell you how it worked. They set two big bowls of salad on our table. And one was peaches and arugula and maybe onion. And then the other one was more of a mixed salad, both with a nice light vinaigrette. So they set those down. And then about 10 minutes later, they brought two different pizzas.
Mm-hmm.
And then they came around three times with three different pastas. And you can say yes to something, you can say no to something. And then they came with deep fried and breaded pork. It was pounded.
Ooh.
Like a pork cutlet.
Uh-huh.
And then they came with mashed potatoes, which I didn't have because I was pacing myself. And this braised zucchini, braised winter squashes from the garden there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, let's see, then there was a braised chicken that was really delicious.
Mm-hmm.
And then nice, rare beef tenderloin.
Ooh.
Really, really good. And then dessert was, there were two desserts. One was prickly pear panna cotta.
What is a panna cotta?
Panna cotta is basically cooked cream. So it's like a little custard.
Ah.
But this was with prickly pear, so it was pink. And then the other one was some sort of white ice cream. And I think a cookie. I traded my panna cotta for the ice cream. You know, I'm not a big dessert fan. But they were both really good and not too much.
Nice.
And so if you pace yourself, you're getting a fabulous meal. You don't have to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And you get entertainment. It's one of the most fun nights possible in Sonoma County, I think.
Yeah, that's a great event. And, you know, who doesn't want to just have food rotating around them throughout the evening and to get to dress up and...
Absolutely. Yeah. And be entertained and laugh and just have somebody take care of you. And given prices at restaurants these days, it's a really good price.
Yeah, that's an incredible price for like an appetizer, a main course, and a dessert. And that's a limited amount.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
absolutely.
This place is fantastic.
So I think it's the place to be on Tuesday nights in Sonoma County, unless you happen to be going to Beach Blanket Babylon on a Tuesday night. So there you go. Those are my two big recommendations. I think we should maybe take a little musical break, and we'll be right back with more here on Mouthful. One of my favorite Prince songs. Prince would have been 61 years old on Friday. Really a tragedy that pain killed him. I don't know, you know, a lot of the stuff that has been written about Prince makes it sound like he was a drug addict or had a drug problem. He had a pain problem. Mm-hmm. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
Oh, yeah, he had a pain problem, and what it was, and all you have to do is watch one of his videos of any up-tempo song. Mm-hmm. He was scheduled for, he had to have two hip replacements, and if you watch something and you see, like in one song, he might do the full splits.
Oh, yeah.
10 times. Mm-hmm. And so he was trying to get a certain amount of work done before he did the surgery. And he was in extreme pain. Mm. And his doctors were not controlling the pain to the degree that he needed to be able to continue working. Mm-hmm. And someone gave him fentanyl.
Oh.
And, you know, fentanyl is a horrible, horrible drug.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that's what did it. But I get really upset when I hear people talking about him. Drugs killed him. Drugs are so bad. It's like pain killed him. We have to do better about managing pain. You know, we really have to. It's not about, you're not drug seeking if you're trying to kill pain.
Exactly. And to get people onto an addictive prescription and then completely cut someone off from that without the proper, like, management seems kind of odd to me.
Yeah, and plus demonizing all opioids. This happened in the 80s, the same sort of demonization of all opioids. Codeine is not the same thing as fentanyl. And addiction doesn't occur the same way. If you are, there was a really interesting story in the 80s about a woman, don't remember the type of disease, but it was utterly debilitating. She was on disability, unable to leave her house. She needed help to do everything, was in a wheelchair. But if she took some, I don't know if it was done, I don't know what form, but some form of opiate, of a codeine, morphine, opiate, she was able to hold down a job. She was able to walk, and they took it away from her during this same thing that happened in the 80s. When you are using an opiate for legitimate pain reasons, the things that we're seeing on commercials right now, after 4 or 5 days, you are addicted. That's not true. Mm-hmm. And there are tons of studies that show it. So we're going through that right now. We need to get rid of fentanyl. We need to stop getting fentanyl in from China. But all opiates are not bad. They are a gift of nature to heal pain. And they can be used responsibly. And they can make the lives of people who need it a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see, what else do I have on my list? Oh, we should talk, we've got a notice. Do you all know that we have a red flag warning? Interestingly, it's for elevations 1,000 feet and higher.
Yeah.
Which surprises me. Down here, close to sea level, it seems pretty dry and crisp.
Mm-hmm.
But that's been through Sunday night until 11 o'clock. So the winds have been freaking out a lot of people.
Yeah.
Myself included at times.
Yeah, and I mean, in some areas right now, we're in a spare the air warning, which is about mainly about poor air conditions, but the lack of wind to push poor air
out of the way. So we've got we've got two things going on.
So it's windy in one spot, or we're anticipating wind later on. So
yeah, and that means no outdoor fires of any kind, no barbecuing outside. Yeah. Drive as little as possible, and be careful. Be careful. And if you see somebody throwing a cigarette out their window and you can't, out their car window, if you can, get their license number.
Yeah.
Call the county sheriffs. You know, I've seen lots of discussion of people seeing people throw lit cigarettes out. Yeah. You know?
It's insane. People wouldn't do that in their own homes.
No.
And
this is our home.
Yeah.
And this is, I mean, normally we used to get red flag warnings in late September and October. Mm-hmm. This is June.
Yeah. It hasn't even started yet.
Yeah. And the air, a lot of people are saying, oh my God, what's the smoke in the air?
Yeah.
And it's Yolo County. There's either one or is it one fire or two fires?
I think it's one. Is it the sand fire?
There's the sand fire. And then I got a little confused. It seemed almost like there were two fires because I saw one was 1700. Then I saw something else about a 600 acre fire and people being evacuated. But I didn't have time to read the whole thing.
Yeah.
So that's something to think about. And it seems to me, and I wrote my column about this, the one that will be in the Press Democrat on Wednesday. It could be a long, hot summer.
Mm-hmm.
And that means a lot of things about what we eat and what we drink.
Yeah, especially if you prefer to eat seasonally.
Yeah, but also a lot of things people don't think about is the effect of two things that we drink. People reach for a cold Pepsi. Mm-hmm. People reach for, and you know me, over 100, I want a root beer. Mm-hmm. People, oh God, it's so hot, I need a beer. Alcohol and sugar make it harder to withstand the heat.
Mm-hmm.
Both do. Beer and wine actually are not truly refreshing. They stimulate your trigeminal nerves.
Hmm.
And we respond to that as if it's refreshing.
Yeah.
But an hour later or something, you're actually going to be in less good shape than you would if you had something with as little sugar as possible and without alcohol in it. So I give a bunch of recipes that you'll see on Wednesday. One is for flavored water.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2012, we did a couple shows on this. California had money to do a Rethink Your Drink campaign.
Yeah.
And I participated in that in downtown Santa Rosa, and we had a contest of flavored waters. And flavored waters are really refreshing, really refreshing, healthy. They're so big right now, you can buy them in the grocery store for way more money than it costs to make them. It's easier and it tastes better. And I tell you how in the column.
Yeah, another thing that I really like that has a minimal amount of sugar is water kefir. It gives you a little
water
bit of
water kefir
that
is wonderful,
kick.
And I did forget. I should have added that, but I'll just do another column on it. Water kefir is wonderful.
Yeah.
But also shrub.
Oh, that I've not had.
Oh, you've not had shrub. I'm going to fix that. Tomorrow I'll be making about 30 pounds.
Oh, wow.
I'll be putting about 30 pounds of very ripe apricot into my apricot shrub.
Ooh.
It's my it's been pretty much my favorite. And a shrub is basically, it started in England long ago and then came to the United States, and it was covered wagon days because they would pour vinegar over fruit to help preserve it. And then as they were coming west, eventually they would drain off that fruit-flavored vinegar, and that was the shrub.
Huh.
And then they would use the fruit to make preserves and that sort of thing. So it's basically a vinegar-based drink. And you can put, I mean, I've made about 20, 25 different flavors over the years. I've done blueberries with sweet spices and cucumber and lemongrass, and I did one with poblanos, serranos, and serranos and cilantro because I have, and lime because I have that kind of palate. But we've got a couple weeks more of apricots. They're not going to last much longer than a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And if you talk to somebody at the farmer's market, or even talk to somebody at Imwali Gardens on West 3rd Street, you want dead ripe apricots.
Mm.
And those are usually the ones they pull and put back into compost or something. So if you get dead ripe apricots, all you do to make a shrub is if there's real bad spots, you cut those bad spots out. Cut them in half, throw out the seed. Can put it through a food mill if you want. You can mash it with a masher. Put it in a gallon jar, depending on how much you're making. And then I put in some cardamom pods because I like the way apricot and cardamom go together. And then I pour apple cider vinegar over it.
Nice.
Put it into the fridge for at least a week. I mean, if you forget it for 3 weeks, it's fine. And then you strain it. And just strain it into a clean jar or strain it into a deep bowl. If you have a strainer with big screen strainer, line it with cheesecloth and then just pour that out. It takes about 30 minutes. Stir it now and then. And then you store the drink in the refrigerator. And you can drink it straight. It's pretty strong if you drink it straight. Pretty intensely flavored. So what I like to do is I just fill a glass with ice. Pour in some sparkling water most of the time, and then, you know, probably do sparkling water to about two-thirds of the glass and put the rest shrub.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing you can do is you can add a generous splash to sparkling wine.
Mm.
And if you have a Chardonnay that maybe seems a little too flabby, a little too much malolactic fermentation happening, a little too buttery, and I've done this many times, I won't say which ones. I just pour it over ice and add some shrub, and it's really good.
Give it a little kick.
Yeah.
That's nice.
And it rounds out the flavors. It fills those holes that Chardonnays sometimes have.
Mm-hmm.
And they're great. But anything, it doesn't have to, it needn't be alcoholic, and it's good for you,
mm-hmm.
and it's delicious.
Yeah, and it gives you that really nice, like, little acidic kick.
Mm-hmm.
What I really like to do is mix apple cider vinegar into smoothies.
Mm.
So
yes, I know other people who do that.
Shrub would be great.
Shrub is fabulous.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, you know, I don't like smoothies
mm-hmm.
because they're too thick. Like, I don't like whipped cream.
Yeah.
If ice cream has melted at all, I hate the feel of it on my tongue. I like things that are really lean and bright.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I don't care for smoothies, but I care for shrubs. I just don't want anything that makes it thick.
Yeah.
And, you know, some people drink a shot of vinegar every morning.
Mm, yeah. So, that will wake you up for sure.
Yeah. And it's supposed to be very healthful.
Yeah. And it's just nice because it adds that almost like a citric acid tartness to whatever you're mixing in.
Mm-hmm. And you don't always have to do, I mean, for apricots, I always use apple cider vinegar.
Mm.
But depending on what sort of shrub I'm making, I vary the vinegar.
Nice.
Like with blueberry shrub, which is a really good one, I usually use very rich red wine vinegar.
Mm.
With cucumber shrub, I use a very lean, very bright white wine or champagne vinegar that doesn't have any sweetness. There's one brand I bought the other day, pretty pricey, but it has the sweet edge to it.
Mm.
So it's like if I'm going to use that for a shrub, then I have to use a shrub with something with natural sugar because I don't want to use it with something that should be savory. So know your vinegars, but you can vary your vinegars based on whatever you're putting in there. And you can, if you have a crop of any, if you have a whole lot of apples, if you have pears, you can make a shrub out of almost anything that you'd like the taste of, any fruit or almost any vegetable that you like the taste of.
That's a great idea. I will pursue that in the future when I have the
abundance of
things that I can create something with.
Well, I'm going to, and you'll be tasting it very soon anyway, because I'm going to bring you some. And then the other thing is what we have in taquerias and Mexican cafes, which is agua fresca.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some agua fresca is way too sweet for me.
Mm.
And I think some of that just has to do with the people who make it in a particular cafe. They just have a sweeter palate maybe than I do.
Mm-hmm.
But you can, if you make it at home, and right now the one to make it with is apricots.
Oh, that is interesting.
It's really good. And all it is you slice up the apricots, you take out the pits, you slice up the apricots, put it through a food mill if you want, or puree it with an immersion blender. I add a few slices of fresh ginger.
Mm-hmm.
And then what you do is you take a couple tastes, let it sit for just a few minutes and taste it. If the apricots are not really sweet, then you're going to sprinkle some sugar over it. Just some, you know, do it a quarter cup at a time and then taste after each addition. Don't get it too sweet. And then what I do is I put that into the refrigerator overnight
mm-hmm.
and then strain it or puree it to take out the ginger, and the rest is water.
Yeah.
And there you have agua fresca. My favorite's watermelon,
mm-hmm.
but it's a little bit early for watermelon, at least local watermelon. But watermelon, and I also add lime juice. I forgot that I add lime juice. And same with watermelon. Watermelon, lime juice,
mm-hmm.
strawberries, black pepper, sugar,
ooh.
And water. So I have all these different versions in the column that will be out on Wednesday. And that seasonal pantry in the Press Democrat.
Ooh.
So, yeah, I bet you would make really good agua frescas.
Yes, I'd love to try that out.
Yeah, and you haven't been drinking alcohol lately.
No.
So all of these things, from flavored water, shrub, and agua fresca, are fabulous ways to enjoy beverages without resorting to something commercial. And of course, the water kefir.
Yeah.
To have something really wonderful to drink without having to go buy something with in a can or bottle that you have to recycle, and that's going to be better tasting and better for you anyway.
Yeah, and more rewarding. It's nice just in and of itself to create it, and a more efficient use of the things that you have. Like if you go shopping and you just pick up a few things and say, okay, I'm going to do something with this, and you know, it keeps you busy. And for me, it's fun, it's productive, and it's nutritious at the same time.
People spent so much more time cooking, and now everybody complains that they don't have any time to cook, but what are they doing?
You know,
playing games on their cell phone?
Yeah.
So life is good, I think, when you spend several hours in the kitchen every night, or at least a couple. And I'm gonna find a quote. I have the most magnificent quote. I'm gonna probably have to go through a lot of old cassettes to find it. But I had the remarkable privilege of interviewing, and I didn't know I was going to. It just came about with 2 minutes' notice. Werner Herzog.
Oh, not familiar with the.
You don't know Werner Herzog?
No.
Oh my. I'm almost jealous because you get to discover him.
That's cool.
He's one of the best documentary filmmakers who's ever lived.
Mm.
He's an incredible genius, an incredible human, and one of the most beautifully articulate people I've ever heard. And I was writing a story for San Francisco Magazine. I think I was writing it in 96 or 97, and it was about Chez Panisse. It was 25 years of Chez Panisse. And I was interviewing, I'm not going to think of his name right now because I'm in the wrong head. I was interviewing somebody who'd been there at the beginning, Alice's former boyfriend, and we were on Broadway in San Francisco. And he says, well, I have to go. I'm going to, it was like North Beach Cafe, maybe. He was going somewhere a few blocks away. He says, I have to meet Werner Herzog at 6. You want to come and talk to him? So we floated to the restaurant, and Werner was so nice and no problem with me turning on the recorder, and he just waxed poetic about Chez Panisse and about cooking. And then he went into this thing about no civilized man should go more than 30 days without cooking a meal totally from scratch. And he went on in his like thick accent, German accent. It's just wonderful. I will try to find that interview so we can play it here.
That's cool.
But have you heard of the movie Fitzcarraldo?
No.
Okay. Well, there was, have you heard of Les Blank?
Yes.
Okay. Les Blank made a movie called Burden of Dreams. And it was a documentary about Werner Herzog making Fitzcarraldo in the desert in South America, where so many things went wrong. And it's quite, a lot of people say that Burden of Dreams was better than Fitzcarraldo. But when Les was also making Garlic is as Good as 10 Mothers, Werner Herzog was coming to Berkeley, landed at the Oakland airport, I think, and Les Blank met him with a camera. And Werner was coming because he had taught filmmaking at UC Berkeley. And he had this one student who, I'll think of the name of the movie for a minute. He says, you're never going to make that movie, his professor Herzog said. You're never going to make that movie. If you ever make that movie, I'll eat my shoe. So he made the movie. It's the movie about the pets. What's it called? It's the movie about pet cemeteries. It's really odd. It's about women. It's about people all over and their pet cemeteries and the way they bury their pets. This was in the 80s and early 90s. Yeah. So Les films him, picking him up at the airport, and he's wearing desert boots. And he says, well, I decided the best thing to eat would be the shoes that I was wearing when I made that promise.
Yes.
So it shows him, he takes the boots, and Alice Waters has gotten like 5 gallons of duck fat melted on the stove with lots of garlic in it, which is how his desert boots are going to be cooked. And so it shows him putting them in and then walking 3 doors down on Shattuck in his socks to buy new shoes. So he does that. And then I don't think it's in the movie, but it might be. The movie's just 20 minutes long. It creates such a horrible chemical stench.
I bet.
They have to close the restaurant, take the thing of desert boots cooking and duck fat out in the back. But then he takes it to the UC Berkeley Theater that night, and there's a screening of the film, and he eats his shoe before the screening of the movie. He cuts off the sole, and he said, I don't have to eat the sole. These would be like the bones of a chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And he eats his shoe, and you could barely watch when he starts cutting it with kitchen shears and chewing on it. It's really difficult. But he is, when you discover Werner Herzog, it's a great discovery. He's made some movies that I have not seen. He did one, I'm not sure if it's called Grizzly Man, but I don't know if you ever heard about the guy who loved grizzlies up in Alaska.
Yes.
Well, he made the movie about it. That's him.
Oh, okay.
And after hearing him talk about it, I don't know if I can see it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the demise of how it ends.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to watch that.
Yeah, and well, he doesn't have the ending. And he tried to get the man's relative to, because there's a film of it, of him being devoured by the bears. And Herzog said, every man should have a private death, and you need to destroy the film. She has it in a vault, and she hasn't destroyed it. But he thought it should be destroyed, and he saw it, but he didn't use it in his film. So he's made a lot of film, a lot of really extraordinary films. My Best Fiend is about an actor that he worked with a lot, who drove him. They drove each other crazy. So here I am. Went down many avenues, didn't we? We should probably play at least one more song, because we want to say, yeah, we're sorry about Dr. John. He's only 77.
Yeah.
So had a big, really, really big second line funeral in New Orleans on Friday, led by his granddaughter.
Aww.
So long, Dr. John. We loved you. Well, that's Dr. John with a little food for thought, and now it's Michelle and Anthony with a little food for thought.
Yeah.
So follow me here. A few days ago, I get tons of emails, and a few days ago, I get an email from Dr. Oz, how I got on his list. I have no idea whatsoever. It was not intentional. So I get an email from Dr. Oz, and the subject line is, how to resist comfort food. I didn't open it. I might at some point. But I sat there thinking about that sentence. First of all, when did comfort become a bad word? What's wrong with comfort food?
Yeah.
And it's being demonized right now.
It is.
It's supposed to be something that, oh, no, we can't have that. And so I read this, I came across this article today. It's in the New York Times. It is called, the title is Smash the Wellness Industry. And it's by Jessica Knowles. She's a novelist. She's written other things for the New York Times and I'm sure other publications. And she looks at this whole detox, clean eating, which is such a thing right now. And she boils it down, so to speak, to basically it's the same thing. A woman's appetite is bad and a woman must be thin to be happy and to be okay. Mm-hmm. And so there's all this negativity. And at one point, she talks about hiring. She had a bad body image. It turns out she's very thin. She thought she was fat. She hated her body. She had bouts of anorexia and other problems. And there's so many women and some men that have that problem. But she was in New York. And she consults. She was trying to deal with the problem. And she hired a nutritionist. And she said, I love food. I like eating. And the nutritionist looked at her like, oh, dear, we really have a big hurdle to get over, don't we?
Yeah. Huh.
But then she moved to Los Angeles. She's still struggling with her problem, but she goes to a nutritionist. And I was proud of Los Angeles. I wouldn't have thought this would happen because there's so many skinny people there. And one of the first things she said with this nutritionist was, I love food. I love eating. And the nutritionist congratulated her. Mm-hmm. And she said, I want to work with you to make you see that your appetite is a gift.
It is.
Absolutely. And and one of the premises of how this woman works and how Jessica Knoll is trying to approach it is food is not your enemy. There's no such thing as clean eating versus dirty eating on the spectrum that it's being presented to us right now. If we didn't like to eat, we wouldn't exist.
Right. And there are certain reasons why we would lose our appetite and they're not good.
No.
Such as, bad health, poor health, or,
grief.
Disease or grief.
It's really interesting. If you look around the world at all the traditions that follow someone's death, they all have to do with, a lot of them have to do with food and with creating rituals that get the grieving person to eat, even when they're not said that that's what it is. But the way people bring casseroles in America, in certain countries, they get together and cook for the bereaved. They eat certain ritual foods that are said to feed the person who's departed. But what they're doing is because one of the things that happens with grief is you don't know you're hungry.
Mm, yep.
That hunger just goes away. So this article, I really encourage you to read it, especially if anything about clean eating, the myth of detoxification. And this all goes back to like Kellogg and his craziness and the domestic scientist movement that the bane of their existence was the fact that women had appetites and they would not acknowledge. They did not want to acknowledge. Only men had appetites, and a wife's job was to control her husband's appetites and give him food that nourished him rather than food that made him happy. And it's crazy. It's just nuts. So I think there's a lot of wisdom in this article, Smashing the Wellness Industry.
Interesting.
And then if you want to entertain yourself a great deal afterwards, go switch over to Huffington Post and just enter surviving Whole Foods and then get ready, have a Kleenex or something or if you're drinking anything because you're going to snort it out your nose. It is. I've probably read it at least a dozen times. It's drop dead hilarious. Oh. Really, really, really hilarious. So those two things will be our education for the evening.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so what? You're a great cook. You and your girlfriend cook together a lot. Mm-hmm. What have you been cooking this last week? We've got like 3 minutes left.
Okay, so one of the last things we did was, we've been doing soy riso, and that's been really easy and quick. So we'll just
soy riso?
Soy riso. So it's an alternative to chorizo.
Oh, that's right. You told me before, and I just wasn't recognizing it.
And so we've just been cooking up some potatoes and things like that, and always and kind of experimenting a little bit. So pan frying that. We've been kind of struggling a little bit with getting a nice brownness on potatoes, so I tried getting the temperature really hot and just leaving the potatoes in there after boiling them just to get them soft.
Are you using enough fat?
Well,
because that could be the problem.
Yeah, and so I tried it with just, you know, olive oil. They didn't crisp up as much. I tried it with butter and oil, which was pretty good for hash browns. But for this case, it didn't work so well. But this morning, it was sweet potatoes and just butter, and that worked perfectly.
Oh, good, yeah.
Yeah.
Butter, clarified butter, or butter and a little bit of olive oil are the two best things. And hot heat, and don't stir too much.
Don't touch it.
Don't touch it.
Let it sunburn.
You got it. You're a good cook.
But yeah, just doing scrambles with that.
And, uh-huh.
Yeah, just letting it ride. And broccolini.
Broccolini.
Broccolini's been great. I really think that if people who struggle with broccoli, and if it's the consistency or whatever.
Broccolini's another thing entirely.
Yeah.
It's quite good. I like both.
Yeah. It's so good.
I made a Joe's special today. I had bought some ground beef that had been ground for tacos, and that's bigger even than the grind for chili. I got it at Lola's, and I had some, because I've been cooking all week for people, had some left over. And so I cooked the meat. I added some spinach until it was wilted, and then I put an egg in that I'd, you know, just beaten, mm-hmm. and let it sit until the egg, you know, hardened, and then just turned it over a couple times, and I put some cheese on it, and that's, you know, like the old San Francisco treat, Joe's special.
Uh-huh.
It's really good. Oh, some good hot sauce. That was breakfast.
Delicious.
And on that note, are we out of time again?
We are. We've done it.
There you go. It's Michelle Anna Jordan here on Mouthful, smart talk about food, wine, farming, climate change, and all kinds of other things on KRCB FM Radio 91. Have a great week. Meet me back here Sunday for another yummy episode.